So, Rafer, we were just on The Takeaway.
Yes.
Talking about movies and talking about the fact that in 2011, ticket sales dropped quite a bit.
Yeah, that's right.
And by some estimates, as low as they were back in 1995.
Yeah, 3.4% year over year, I think.
Yeah, and what you were saying on the show is you think that there is one thing to blame entirely for this.
That's right. Very simple explanation. The movies are no good. That is the simple information. Movies equal bad. That is the simple equation.
You are so grumpy.
I am.
You are so
grumpy
because there were some fantastic movies last year.
And there were a few, yes.
And while, you know what, I don't actually agree with you on this.
Okay.
As you know, I think that entertainment options have become so much more diversified.
Very true.
That, of course, we're not all going to go to the movies anymore when we have Netflix, we have the internet. And what you're saying to me says, you think we still live back in the 1980s and people on Friday night watch Dallas and Falcon Crest every Friday night, and that, frankly, audiences don't have any other form of entertainment other than Dallas, Falcon Crest on Friday nights, and then movies on Saturday nights. And that's not true anymore.
I do live in the 80s. I probably always will. But, I mean, look, the last 10, 15 years, revenues have been rising, and that was the rise of video games. Television was with us. We had all kinds of things to distract us, and all of a sudden, I feel like things plummeted. No, plummeted is probably an exaggeration, 3%. But I mean, there's a pretty steep drop after years and years of rising, and years and years of rising in which the economy was doing more poorly than it is now. Yet we're still seeing a drop. So
okay.
I say crummy movies.
All right. Well, you know what? For today,
yes,
and today only, I'm going to play along with you and say, yes, there's a lot of crappy
okay
movies.
Thanks.
And as a matter of fact, today's a great day because it's early January where there's not a lot of offerings in the theaters.
Just a crappy movie. The Devil Inside. One crappy movie. That's it.
So let's look back at some of those crappy movies from 2011 and maybe talk about what made them so crappy.
Yes.
Some of our favorite of the crappiest or the most craptastic of them all. But first, let's introduce ourselves. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Day.
All right, Rafer. We each have put together a list of some of the movies that we thought were the most crappy.
Yes.
And I would love for you to start. I had a hard time narrowing down my list. I know you did, too.
See, it's difficult. All right. Now, we have both revealed, I think, our number one lousiest movie of the last year. So I'll go first, but then maybe we can drill down a little bit and get into some of the other stinkers that
were
around.
Hold on. Your number one worst movie?
Number one worst movie. And I do want to say that I'm going to leave out the soft targets like, you know, Jack and Jill and Zookeeper and things like that. we can just ignore those guys because that sort of doesn't count, right? But I'm going to say my number one lousiest movie of last year was Margin Call, the financial collapse drama with the amazing cast, right? Kevin Spacey, Paul Bettany, Zachary Quinto, Demi Moore, Simon Baker.
What a cast.
Jeremy Irons, it goes on. I mean, you could even include Penn Badgley in there if you want. Stanley Tucci. All kinds of amazing people in this film. The critics went crazy for it. Critic after critic called it, you know, the most important movie of the year, the movie of the moment, you know, the one film that, you know, that we're all going to look back on, that's going to encapsulate this recessionary era, blah, blah, blah. And I thought that movie was terrible. Did you see it, Kristen?
I deliberately avoided it because you told me that I would hate it. And you actually have a really good read on what I'll hate, I think.
I think that's probably true. I will just say briefly that I liked the premise, which was, and I thought it was good that a film tried to simplify and clarify the problems with the and the causes for the recession. Zachary Quinto plays like a junior analyst who works for this financial firm, realizes that the firm is basically about to go belly up because it's made too many bad bets. There's all this internal hand-wringing, and basically Jeremy Irons, who is the head honcho of the firm, decides they're going to dump all the bad paper on the market, willingly and knowingly drive the economy into the toilet, screw the little guy, and keep the firm afloat, because that's what's most important, you know, CEO bonuses and jobs. But the movie was so overwritten with such awful, awful dialogue. You mentioned, you know, Falcon Crest and Dynasty. I mean, those things those things had better dialogue than this movie. There's a moment that may even be in the trailer where Jeremy Irons is staring, you know, ominously out his high-rise window at the skyline and says, you know, something about how if this whole thing goes down, we're about to see the most odious bag of excrement ever assembled in the history of capitalism.
Is that word for word?
That's word for word. That is word for word. I memorized that line because I was so appalled at the florid poetry, the mixed metaphor of it, and just the overall badness of that little snippet of dialogue. So
you
there you go.
You make it sound like it's craptastic, though.
But it is
just crappy.
It's just boring. It's tiresome. It's long. It's meandering. I really could not think of almost anything good to say about the film.
I can think of a worse movie.
Okay,
Tree of Life.
I forgot that you chose that for your number one. Tell me again why.
Oh, it is so bad. Well, first of all, because it's the worst movie of the year.
Okay.
And second of all, I know some of the cinematography is beautiful.
Yes.
The acting, I don't know how the acting is. You don't really see a lot. There's
passable.
Not really acting.
Brad Pitt is good in the role as the abusive but loving father.
Well, it's hard to tell because everything's kind of like miming. There's not really talking. There's not really dialogue. There's close-ups. There's a few words here and there. There are dinosaurs being born.
Yeah.
There's the dawn of time.
Yes, there is that.
There's a lot of whispering of a child's voice saying, mother, father, mother, child. And then
close-ups of leaves.
Leaves, clouds, grass, slow-motion children running down suburban sidewalks in the 60s. It is like the worst freshman film 101 film I have ever seen, only it was 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And you know what I love about freshman film 101 things? They're like 3 minutes long. I don't know why this had to be so long. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
I'm going to leave it at that. What's your next bad film?
Okay, my next bad film, Green Lantern.
Oh, my God, that's my next bad film,
that's
too.
That's yours, too? Okay,
oh,
we
God.
Agree.
Yes.
We agree. An atrocious film.
The computer animation was just painful to look at. They didn't seem to know what the plot was.
To this day, I could not tell you exactly what the plot was. Baffling, two worlds connected by some kind of bridge.
Don't they fly at one point because they have a ring that's green?
Well, right, they got the ring. They've all got their different powers. You know, what is it the ring does? The ring allows you to make your thoughts real. So in order to save people, he comes up with like a Hot Wheels track, and like a big car races down the Hot Wheels track and saves some crowd of people. It was the most inane superhero film I have ever seen, and that is saying a lot because I had just seen Thor, and that was also a terrible, terrible film. But Green Lantern, it really like bowled me over how bad that movie was.
It was unbelievably bad. I have nothing to add to that other than if I had one of those magic rings while the movie was going on, the thing I would have visualized is for the theater to go up in flames.
Right.
So we could have just left. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. It was really hard for me to narrow down this list because there were so many movies to choose from. But I'm just going to say Smurfs and Transformers might be tied for my third place ones.
Oh,
is that too easy?
Now,
is that easy
okay,
target?
Well, Smurfs, I feel like – now here you've got me because I did not see Smurfs. So I can't really say. But was Smurfs really that bad?
It was unbelievably bad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
There was irritating Smurf. There was grating Smurf. There was I want to punch you Smurf.
Right.
It was Smurf crappy. The whole thing was so irritating. And then you know those Christmas lights that they go on kind of the high speed and they're called dancing lights?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like that, only there's 500 strings of them all at once.
Right.
And then character actors who are trying to, I don't know, be realistic, witty.
Well, you've pretty much just defined the formula for almost every kids movie that Hollywood produces, right? Just, you know, flash a bunch of loud visuals at everybody and hope that that's going to sort of stun the kid into submission.
It was awful.
Yeah. Happy Feet 2. You and I both saw Happy Feet 2, right?
Oh, my God. You know, that's on my list, too.
Ghastly film. Yeah.
Maybe that's tied for third place.
But we should talk about Transformers because Transformers was also on my list.
Oh.
Now, were you a fan of the first two Transformers at all?
I did not see them.
Ah, so you went in kind of cold.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, and that's fine. I think we had this conversation. I was perfectly happy with the first two Transformers films. I enjoyed them as just the way you enjoy, like, you know, a fillet of fish or something.
Mm, delicious.
You know it's bad for you, and you know, there's nothing good that you could possibly say about it, but it's kind of tasty, and it's enjoyable, and it's a little treat that you get.
And there's just a little bit of American cheese in
that's
there.
Right.
And that's fine.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this third one I thought was so loud and chaotic and unpleasant, and
there were chasing scenes that went on for 40 minutes.
And again, oh my God!
And I thought, I forgot why you're chasing. I forgot who's chasing and why.
Yeah,
the chasing is happening.
Completely nonsensical. And then all of a sudden, it's an Iraq war film, right? They're out in the Middle East somewhere.
There's,
you know,
like parachuting,
fighting the good fight.
Yeah, yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah,
what
terrible,
that was.
Terrible movie.
I feel that we could go on and on and on and on for the rest of the day.
We could, probably.
But you know what? Let's end on a happy note instead.
You want to stay positive?
Yeah. Let's be a little bit upbeat here, Rafer.
All right,
Kristen.
Let's
do that thing. Let's do that thing.
Let's try.
It's 2012. It's a new year.
You're right.
It's a time for new beginnings.
You're right.
So maybe we should each mention a film that we're really looking forward to this year.
Okay.
You go ahead.
Me go first? All right. All right.
Giving you the chance to bring the joy.
Okay.
Bring the joy.
Now, so we were talking about this on the takeaway. So if you've heard the show, listeners, some of this might be repetitive. So I'll try not to be too repetitive. I'm going to choose – one of the ones I chose was Argo, the Ben Affleck film about the 1979 Iran hostage crisis.
Because you love Ben Affleck.
Well, I love/hate Ben Affleck. I think I can't stand to watch him act. I mean, talk about irritating Smurf. I mean, that, like, Ben Affleck on screen just drives me crazy.
But he's so handsome.
Is he? I don't understand that. I mean, I guess I see. But when he's in the director's chair, I think he turns all of a sudden into, like, a really serious, efficient, really good, sensitive director. He gets great performances. And I'm looking forward to this movie. Also because I feel like it may be a little bit of a dark comedy. Clooney and Grant Heslov are producing this, and they're the ones that did Men Who Stare at Goats. They did Good Night and Good Luck, and they both tend to have a little bit of a wry sense of humor, and so they might put their stamp on this in a good way.
Argo, is it spelled like the cornstarch? A-R-G-O?
Yeah, A-R-G-O.
You know that little Indian girl who's made out of corn with the corn in the yellow box?
Yeah. Yes.
So it's spelled like that. Okay.
The backstory there is the movie is not really about the crisis itself. It's about six diplomats who escaped the country during the crisis by posing as a film crew, as a Hollywood film crew, and the fictional film they're making is called Argo.
It looks so good.
So that's one of my top picks.
That's going to be great.
I think so too.
All right. So it's hard for me to just come up with one movie I'm looking forward to next year, but I'm just going to ruin it because next week we're talking about Joyful Noise probably.
And you are, yes.
Because it comes out next Friday, and I am so excited about this movie.
I have some trepidation about this movie. Queen Latifah, Dolly Parton, gospel sing-off, right?
Yes, and you know what? I said this on the takeaway. I'll say it again. Dolly Parton, Queen Latifah, and singing. That's 90%
right.
of what I'm looking for in a movie right there, all in one movie.
Now,
yes,
listen,
I am so excited.
Neither a Glee fan nor an American Idol fan, so is this movie going to bother me? Am I going to get mad during this movie?
Well, I guess we'll have to find out next week, Rafer,
won't we?
I guess
we will.
It's a new year, and we have so much to sing about.